Amen. Appreciate that prayer. Ask your continued interest in your prayers this morning. I want to notice a very familiar passage of Scripture this morning. Psalm 23. You ever heard of it? Psalm 23. I've heard that before, preacher. Well, you might hear it again. Let me start with a little story. There was a young preacher one time that preached on the 23rd Psalm, emphasized every portion of it just right, had the good meaning for all the words. At the end, didn't seem like anybody was moved. But an older preacher got up sometime after that and took the same text. And when he preached that psalm, there wasn't a dry eye in the house. Somebody asked later, what was the difference? The answer was that the young preacher knew the psalm, the older preacher knew the shepherd. Do we know the shepherd? We know the psalm. If you're like me, it's the first chapter in the Bible you ever memorized. That was in school, it wasn't in church. In school. What a blessing that was. To have such teachers that would make that a part of the learning. Because they knew that was the most important thing to learn. Scripture. But beyond knowing the psalm, do we know the shepherd? Do we love the shepherd? Are we thankful that he's my shepherd? Do we feel our need for him as a shepherd? You know, Jesus sent his disciples out. He said, as lambs in the midst of wolves or sheep in the midst of wolves? For some reason that's not coming to me. In a lot of ways, we are very defenseless in this world. And we've got enemies. As a matter of fact, we've got a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. You remember that verse? Your adversary, the devil, Peter says, is as a roaring lion. Now, and he tells us he's not just there to scare us. He wants to devour us. He wants to destroy us personally. He wants to destroy us, our families and our churches and our nation. And he does that by pulling people away from this shepherd, from taking these sheep that are so precious in the sight of God. The shepherd. I tell you, there's a reason why this is probably the most beloved chapter in all the Bible. Because whether your head is caught up with it or not, your heart certainly feels it. As we stop and think about our needs, you know, there's times we get busy and we're just trying to make our way in this world and we don't think about the Lord. But you know what? This psalm begins, "The Lord is my shepherd." David didn't have to say, "I hope the Lord is my shepherd." He didn't have to say, "I hope today he's my shepherd." He didn't have to say, "I hope the Lord is not going to stop being my shepherd someday." He is. And when we understand what the scriptures teach us about this shepherd, we understand that we've always been his sheep. If we're one of his sheep, we've always been that way before the foundation of the world. And if we're his sheep, we always will be his sheep. Now you talk about care, you talk about comfort, you talk about someone that we can go to, he's always going to be there. You know, sometimes we need help from others and we may call them on the phone or try to visit them or whatever, and they may not be home, they may not answer the phone, they may just not be available to us. That is never the case with our Lord, is it? That's never the case with this shepherd. And so, as we go through some of this, I pray that the Lord will bless us this morning to consider not just what it's teaching about what he is, but what he is to me. Take it personally. Lay it to heart. Make it something that you can use in the days ahead. Because bless your hearts, this is a precious psalm. And I hope that it's precious to each one of us. And I hope I'll give you something by the grace of God that you can carry home with you and think about in the days ahead. The Lord is my shepherd. Can you find a better shepherd? Do you want a better shepherd? If you do, you don't know who he is. If you want a better shepherd, you're wanting something that's not the best you can have. He's the best. You know, we got an expression nowadays, we like to tell folks, you're the best. Well, we know what that means. I mean, we know what we mean by that. But I can truthfully say without any hesitation, the Lord is the best. The Lord. He's the one who's almighty. He's the one who's self-existent and eternal. He'll always be the shepherd. He'll always be there for us. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, have you ever heard of a sheep choosing their shepherd? Would that work? It doesn't work in God's kingdom either. You know, much of Christianity today will tell you, you need to choose this shepherd so you can be saved. Where do they find that in this book? Now, I understand from a day-to-day basis, we need to seek him. We need to trust him. We need to go to him. We need to pray to him every day we live. But bless your hearts, if we're his sheep, it's because he chose us. Ephesians 1 and 4, that verse that we love so well. According as he hath chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. I might have left out a verse there, but you know what I'm talking about. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. He chose us to be his sheep. And he did it before we even had our existence. It's not a choice that's left up to us. The Bible is clear on that. Right? When the Apostle Peter would tell us about that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, he says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. The Apostle Peter brings in all the Godhead in this. He says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. That foreknowledge is not that just simply that God knew ahead of time what something would be. That foreknowledge means that he set his love upon us before we had our being. And the reason I bring this up is because if he chose us to be his sheep, and if he set his love upon us before the foundation of the world, see, he chose us in Christ. You say, well, that might just have been a blanket choice. No, 2 Timothy 2:19 says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. He knows us personally. Yes, I believe in a personal Savior. It's very personal because he chose us individually in Christ before the foundation of the world. So he chose us. He set his love upon us. Do you think he's just going to leave us to do whatever we can in this world? Don't you know that he loves us and he cares for us and he cares for our well-being? He cares for our supplies. He cares for what is going on in our life. He cares. You know, even the apostles on one occasion, when they were in that ship that was filling up with water and there was a great storm raging, they woke the Lord up and said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Well, I can understand somebody that's panicking, thinking they're about to lose their life. I can understand them crying out in that way. But when we understand who he is and we understand his power, we understand his love, we understand that we were secure in him before the foundation of the world, don't you know he's going to take care of us each day? Can we not trust that he's going to take care of us? Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to have trouble. That doesn't mean we're not going to have tribulations. Jesus plainly told us, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So whatever we have to face in this life, he's already taken care of eternity. And when we trust him and when we look to him and when we rest in him, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit here, but when we understand who this shepherd is and how much he loves us and how powerful he is and how faithful he is and how much he can provide for us, can we not rejoice that the Lord is my shepherd? And then he says, "I shall not want." I'm going to try as we go through this, something I've never done before in going through this, is each point that we try to make, consider the opposite. What if he's not your shepherd? What do you have? What if the Lord is not your shepherd? What are you going to do when trouble comes? Who are you going to go to? The arm of flesh is weak. The arm of flesh is unfaithful. We can't have a better shepherd than our Lord. We need to remember that. Because he says, "I shall not want." Now, we understand what he's saying by that is it's not a matter of we're going to have everything we want in life. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about supplying our needs. When he says, "I shall not want," David is recognizing that the Lord is capable of supplying all that we need in this life. He knows all of our needs before we do, and he's well able to supply those needs. Now, you know, sometimes it's needful for us to be without some things, to remind us who our shepherd is, to remind us we need to be thankful for our blessings. And so when David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." One of the names of God is the Lord of hosts. And one of the meanings of that Lord of hosts is God of endless supply. His storehouses are full. As a matter of fact, when we understand who God is, he doesn't need a warehouse full of things for you to be well supplied. He can make it. He can bring it. He is able. You read your Old Testament, you'll find a widow one time that had just a little bit of meal left in the barrel. And Elijah came there. And she was going to take that meal. She was going to bake her a cake. And she and her son was going to eat of that and die. Because she thought it was all over. It was a great famine in the land. And food and water was scarce. And so she sincerely thought that she was going to bake that cake. And that was going to be their last meal. Elijah told her, "Bake me a cake first." Well, can you imagine? But Elijah knew something that widow didn't. And she baked that cake for that man of God, and he ate it. and there was still meal in the barrel. And so she made for her and her son, and they ate it, and there was still meal in the barrel. And according to the scriptures, that meal was there for a whole year. Every time she went to the barrel, thinking it was the last time, there was still meal in the barrel. Now, where'd that come from? Where'd it come from? God gave it to her. He can do that. I know that's Old Testament, but he can do it in the New Testament. He fed 5,000 one time, didn't he? With 5 loaves and 2 fishes? Do you think that's just there for our entertainment? No, it's there for our learning. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we may through patience and comfort of the scriptures have hope. We have the Lord as our shepherd, and the promise is we shall not want. There's nothing that we're going to lack in the way of our needs. Now, there's plenty of things that we want with our mind and our desires that we probably won't have. Possibly won't have. I don't know. Depends on how hard we work for some things. But what I'm telling you is, as far as our needs are concerned, the promise is the Lord is our shepherd. I shall not want. David made the statement in Psalm 37. He said, I've been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Matthew chapter 6, the Lord in his Sermon on the Mount talks about the Lord feeding the sparrows, the little birds. He provides for them. You know, I've always been a little bit amused by folks that spend a whole lot of money putting out bird seed for the birds. If you want to do that, that's fine. But the Lord has been feeding them for a long time. But that little illustration is there for us to remind us that God, if he takes care of them, are we not worth many sparrows? Are we not much more than they? Chose us before the foundation of the world. He set his love upon us. The whole Godhead was involved in that. I didn't finish 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. So we find that God the Father in his foreknowledge chose out a people. Sends his Spirit here in time, quickening us by his Spirit and blessing us to know him. And blessing us to know that he's also sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world to suffer and die, to redeem us from our sins, so that we can live with him forever. And if we're going to live for him forever, why don't we live with him today? Why won't we live with him tomorrow? Why don't we live with him now if we're looking forward? You know, every now and then you see a little nugget on Facebook that's good. There was a saying I saw months ago, but it said, you want to live with him forever, but you won't visit him on Sunday? You won't go to his house and visit him on Sunday, but you think you'll live with him forever? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Verse 2. We may get through with this today. I don't intend to make this a series. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You know that first phrase, the Lord is my shepherd. Somebody a long time ago associated a word with each one of these phrases. I don't know. We don't know who it was that did it, but it's been around a long time, and it's a good memory jogger to help you. The Lord is my shepherd speaks of our relationship with him. He established that. That's why I went into the fact that he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. He's the one that chose us. We didn't choose him. That relationship. And bless your hearts, God doesn't start loving and quit. If he's ever loved us, he loves us today. He'll love us tomorrow. He'll love us in all eternity. That's why Romans chapter 8 says nothing. Goes through a long list of things and says nothing shall ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Because he established that relationship, and God is a covenant-keeping God. He chose us, he loves us, he'll always love us. Because he loves us, he'll provide for us. But the psalmist goes on to say, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Think about rest. Can you rest in this shepherd? Can you find rest in him? You know, there's not a whole lot of things we can find rest in this world. As a matter of fact, if he's not our shepherd, if we can't relate to this him making us lie down in green pastures, if we're not receiving that rest, then what are we receiving? You know, if we consider the negative of that, if we're not receiving rest in him, then you're experiencing a lot of unrest in this world. You're experiencing a lot of trouble, a lot of trials, a lot of heartaches instead of resting in the one that has loved you before the foundation of the world and will love you all through this life and into all eternity. Rest in him. Rest in him. When we forget these things and when we get busy in this world and when we get distracted and when we're trying to do all that we can to try to get all we can in this world, we're not experiencing that rest that's so healthy for these bodies and our mind. We're not experiencing that in this life. Oh, let's rest in him. He loves us. He's providing for us. He cares for us. And he always will. Let's rest in him. That maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You know, there's something about sheep. You know, I recommend, there's a book called The Shepherd's View, the 23rd Psalm. Some of you, I'm sure, have read it. If you haven't, I recommend it. This man was a shepherd that wrote the book. And he goes through a lot of unique things about sheep and lays this psalm out and talks about how wonderful it is because it speaks directly to the experience of being a shepherd and what the sheep need. One thing about sheep is they won't lie down and rest if they're disturbed. If they're not at peace, if they're not comfortable, they won't rest. They won't feed. Well, anybody knows anything about livestock, if you're trying to raise livestock, if they won't eat, that's a problem. God's people, God's sheep needs to be eating. And they need to be eating the right food. God's people need to be feeding on the Word of God. Amen. See, when we're feeding on the wrong kinds of things, that's when we have all these troubles and struggles in this life. But God's Word. When the Apostle Paul, especially when he's writing to Timothy and Titus, those pastoral epistles, he repeatedly talks about God's wholesome words or sound doctrine. And those words are not just describing the kind of doctrine, but it talks about how healthful they are to the child of God. It feeds our souls. It provides what we need to make our way in this world and be healthy as a child of God and be faithful to God by knowing how it is that we should live our lives in a way that will be pleasing unto the Lord and that we will be blessed. Wholesome words, sound doctrine, those are the kinds of things that we need to be feeding our soul on a regular basis. And when we're resting in him, when we're contented with our shepherd, when we remember that we don't need another shepherd, we don't want another shepherd, we couldn't have a better shepherd. When we understand how much he loves us, it helps us to understand how much we should love him. He's our shepherd. He watches over us at all times. He takes care of us. He sees, he's looking out for the evil that can come upon us. Now, I know that there's bad things that happens to good folks. I know that we live in a fallen world and we have our struggles and tribulations are going to come. But bless your hearts, we've got a shepherd that knows. We've got a shepherd that's able to provide. He's been doing it real well for a long time. Haven't you experienced that in your life? If you can look back over your life and see, I can look back over my life and see some choices I made from time to time that weren't good. It seemed like the Lord was there helping me. There were times that perhaps he prevented things from happening in my life. Whatever the case might be, whatever he provides, we know is the very best. Because he knows all and he provides. And so as we think about, now I'm not saying that everything that happens in the world is because God caused it. Not at all. Bless your hearts, he knows our needs and he's able to take care of us. And so, bless your hearts, he maketh us lie down in green pastures so we can get the rest that we need, resting in him. Because he can provide all that we need. And looking to his word for what we need to satisfy our soul. Then he says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Think of refreshing. Still waters. Refreshing. Oh, how refreshing it is to be reminded of what God is providing for us. This whole psalm is refreshing, isn't it? When we think about how that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That Philippians 4:19, is the Apostle Paul is, by the inspiration of the Spirit, ending up this epistle to the church at Philippi. He says in verse 19, 4:19, he says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." He'll supply all our needs. That's refreshing to me when I remember that God has promised that he will provide. Now, David was persuaded that he shall not want. But when we look into the scriptures and when we find time after time after time of God taking care of his people, of God providing for his people, I'm going to tell you something, that's refreshing. That's refreshing when we're reminded of how able he is, because he has all power. He knows all our needs because he has all knowledge. And God is love. Now, he's a lot more than that, but he is love and he can't change. And so whatever he provides for us is through his love for us. That's refreshing to me to think about all that God provides. And his peace is the answer to relieving the stresses of life. There's so much in the world today, there's so much talk about the stress that's happening in people's lives. And there is. There's lots of things. Not only things that are happening in relationships and in this nation and how so many people have their agendas that they're pushing, but we've got all this EMF radiation that's going through the air and it's taking its toll on our bodies and there's just all kinds of stresses. If we knew about all the stress that was happening to us, we'd really be stressed. And you probably don't want me to remind you of it. But listen, we've got a shepherd. He knows how to take care of us. He knows how to provide. And he will take care of us because he loves us greater than we'll ever be able to love him. And maybe once we're changed and fashioned like unto his glorious body and taken home to be with him, we will love him as we should. But I'm not sure our love will ever exceed. I don't think it will. Because he's greater. His love for us is greater than anything we'll ever have toward him. That's refreshing. That refreshes my soul just to think of this shepherd and his care and provisions for us. He restoreth my soul. Very similar to what we've just talked about, isn't it? There's healing. Healing. That's a word you can associate with this. There's healing in remembering that the Lord is my shepherd. Remembering all that he provides for us. You know, I guess we tend to focus on this world, because that's all we know. But the child of God can not only think about this world, but we can also think about the world to come. And when we think about how our shepherd is watching over us each day and providing each day, and he's the source of our rest, he's the source of our refreshing, he's the source of all of our blessings, I tell you, that has a healing effect upon us. That ought to relieve some stress. That ought to help us as we go through this life. But I'm going to tell you something. Far beyond any earthly blessing that we will receive at the hand of a loving and merciful God is an eternity of joy and happiness that our minds just cannot fathom. Because we've not experienced that here. We've had troubles. We've had trials. We've had heartaches. We've got struggles each day. We have those things that present themselves in a way that troubles us. Bless your heart, someday all those things are going to be left behind. And being left behind, they're going to burn up. They're going to melt with a fervent heat. But before that happens, God is going to gather up all of his sheep. Remember Matthew 25 talks about when the king shall sit in all of his glory and he shall divide his sheep from the goats. He makes that comparison. And he's going to say to his sheep on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But to the goats, he's going to say, depart from me. Is he your shepherd? Is he watching over you? Is he providing you? Is he refreshing your soul? Is he? Then you could rejoice in that. But if you don't feel any of that, I'm afraid there's only one alternative. If he's not your shepherd. I'm so thankful that we're blessed to know him. We're blessed with his love, and by his love that he's given to us, we're able to love him. And each day when we say, thank you, Lord, for your wonderful provisions, in a sense, you're saying, I love you, Lord. Whenever we follow his word and live our lives according to the teachings of it, we're saying, I love you, Lord. Because let me tell you something. 1,000 times each day, he shows us his love. He gives us tokens of our affection. I'm satisfied that most of them we don't even stop to think about. You've got air to breathe. You've got food to eat. You've got a shelter over your head. There are blessings upon blessings upon blessings. As a matter of fact, the psalmist said in Psalm 58, verse 19, I believe it is. He speaks of how he daily loadeth us with benefits. He daily loadeth us with benefits. Now, if you haven't stopped to think about that lately, you ought to stop sometime and count your blessings. You're not going to get finished, but you can get started. You know, the sad thing is, quite often we don't ever get started counting our blessings. I'll tell you something. There's a big difference in the amount of joy that'll be in your life when you're not thinking about your blessings. If you'll just stop and consider how blessed you are in so many ways, there'll be more joy in your life. The more you remind yourself of this shepherd, the more you remind yourself of his provision, the more you remind yourself of the protection that we have in him against anything that'll come against us. And if some calamity were to happen and our life would be snuffed out in an instant, we'll awaken his presence because of the Lord Jesus Christ has already died to pay our sin debt. We're safe in him. Nothing can separate us from his love. We'll be with him in glory forever. and he'll still be our shepherd. He'll still be our shepherd, even in glory. Oh, as we think about what we have in our Lord each day. He restoreth my soul, he said. There's healing in that. So all of what we've said thus far, you can see the healing that we can have each day as we think about our Lord, as we think about his provisions, as we think about his care, as we think about how that we're eternally secure in him. I'm going to tell you something. To me, that's the best stress reliever I can think of. Just to remind ourselves, he's our shepherd. He's on the job. He's not taking a vacation. He's there. Whether we're looking up to him, whether we think we can, or we think about him or not, he is there all the time. And he's faithful. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Oh, by the way, if he restores our soul, what happens if he's not our shepherd? You're not restored, are you? You don't find that relief. You don't find the help that you need. I'm so glad he's our shepherd, aren't you?
Amen.
Okay, he leadeth me in the path of righteousness. Paths of righteousness. There's many ways that we can be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ and follow righteous paths. That's guidance. That's guidance. Everything we need to tell us how we should live our life, what direction we go, what choices to make, everything we need, that guidance is in his word. You say, well, preacher, how could you be so sure? Well, because it says so. And I believe the word. Okay? Paul wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy 16, 17. He said, all scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. All right? That's not just for preachers. Paul was writing to a preacher, but he was writing to a preacher of what to teach to God's sheep. All right? So when we think about it's a thorough furnisher unto all good works. Whatever we need to know about following the Lord can be found in his word. All right? Now it takes some reading. It's not all in one spot. You get here a little and there a little. All right? But that's why we need to be reading. That's why we need to be feeding on the word of God every day so that it can feed our soul, so that we can be strengthened, so that we know how to walk in paths of righteousness in this life. And he's there to lead us. All right? One of the reasons, one of the great benefits that we have from the Holy Spirit is that it leads us into his truth. It helps us understand it. It helps us to follow. It reminds us of it. It reproves us, or it causes us to be convicted when we do what's not right. So as we think about, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. What if he's not your shepherd? Then you don't have the leadership into the right paths. And so you can expect trouble. You can expect heartache. You can expect the things that come from not following in the path of righteousness. Again, I'm thankful. I'm thankful. The Lord chose us. Because on our own, we wouldn't have chosen him. You see his love and his mercy and his long-suffering and the grace that we have in our God, who's our shepherd. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. For his name's sake. That's purpose. What's your purpose in life? Well, you may have a vocation and you've got a purpose that you need to fulfill in doing that, but I'm talking about life in general. What's your purpose? For the child of God, first and foremost, it ought to be to bring glory and honor to his name. Why? Well, look what he's done for us. Look what he's doing for us. Look what we have in him eternally. Look who he is, and worship him who is holy, holy, holy. One who's loving, one who's kind and gracious and provides our needs. One who's long-suffering with us and patient and kind. Yes, he chastens his children. He disciplines his children when they're out of the way. But it's in love because he wants them to come back into the right way. What a Savior we have. What a God we have. What a Shepherd we have. For his name's sake, he does all these things for our good. And when we remember his goodness upon us and say thank you, and when we follow his way and thereby say, I love you, we bring glory to his name. Now listen, life is not all about you. There's a heavy emphasis in the scriptures of how we need to look at those around us and be a help when we can to those around us. And one of the greatest blessings you can be to those around you is to be a good disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ yourself, to be a loving disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ yourself, so that others can see that good example. They can see the blessings that you have in your life. They can see that when you have the trials and when you have the heartaches and when you have the struggles, you've got a shepherd that's providing all that you need. He's helping you, and he's guiding you, and he's restoring you, and he's healing you from those times of struggle. And he's already provided the greatest blessing of all, the ultimate healing, through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a shepherd we have. For his name's sake. Our very life ought to be for his name's sake. Saying, thank you, Lord. Saying, I love you, Lord. Maybe not necessarily saying the words, I love you, all the time, but when we keep his commandments. Isn't that what he said? If you love me, keep my commandments. And every time we keep a precept of his commandments, we're saying, I love you, Lord. What a blessing that is. That we can live a life out of gratitude and thanksgiving to this wonderful, loving, merciful, all-powerful, eternal shepherd. I don't have enough words. That's why we keep trying. I don't have the words in our language to describe. The Apostle Paul was caught up to the third heaven, and he saw things that were unlawful to be uttered. And I think part of that was perhaps it wasn't time for him to tell us about the things that he saw. But I think more to the point is he couldn't describe what he saw with words for this life because what he saw was far better. Far better. Far better. For his name's sake. And he goes on to say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Sometimes things happen that shake our world. Sometimes, whether it's someone else, whether it's our own personal life, maybe you get that phone call from the doctor's office. You need to come in. The doctor needs to talk to you. There's a serious problem. More and more people are getting that word today. Tragedies happen. So much. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Though it looks like our life may be coming to a close, though it looks like maybe someone we love, they're coming to the end of it, that death is looming over us. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what does David say? I will fear no evil. I'm safe in the Lord. I'm safe in the shepherd's care. I'm safe in him, whether it's here or whether it's in heaven's pure world. We're safe in him. And if it be pleasing to the Lord, he can deliver us from whatever trial, whatever struggle, whatever is facing us. He is able. He is loving. And if it's his will, he will deliver us. You know, I'm sure if given the choice, those three Hebrew children over there in the book of Daniel, I'm sure when they were threatened with being thrown into a burning fiery furnace, I'm sure if you'd have given them the choice, they'd say, I'd just as soon stay on the outside. But that wasn't God's will. And you know what? They were just as safe in the furnace as they would have been outside of it. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you this. They were better off in the furnace than they were avoiding it. Because look at the deliverance they had. When they went home, they could say, let me tell you a story. Let me tell you how the Lord delivered us today. And bless your hearts, I love that story for so many reasons. But God had it. God allowed it to happen there when there were people from all the nations of the earth gathered there on that occasion. And that king in a fiery rage said, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? He had the furnace heated seven times hotter than it was wont to be heated. Even the people that cast in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were consumed by the flame. And yet, there wasn't even the smell of smoke on their garments. Not a hair was singed. And that old king who thought he was getting rid of them looked in there and said, did we not cast in three? And lo, behold, I was see four. And the fourth is likened to the Son of God. Who told him that was the Son of God? I believe God did. When he said, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? God said, I'll show you. And he did. And there was four in that furnace. And they were better off in the furnace than they were from being delivered from it. And I'm going to tell you something. You've been through some furnaces of affliction yourself. And God has seen you through it. God has had mercy on you. God has blessed you and helped you. It may not have happened like you wanted it to happen. But he knows best. By faith, we just have to say that. He knows best. He's providing for us every day. What a shepherd. Never been one like him. Didn't have to be another one. He's eternal. He's always going to be on the job. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Fearing no evil is protection. I didn't say that, did I? But you understood that. We're safe in the Lord. For thou art. That's why we're safe. Because he is with us. Someday mom and daddy's going to be gone. One day your closest friend may turn their back on you. There's plenty of reasons, plenty of ways that the things in this world prove not to remain. But if the Lord's with us, that's what we need. What if he's not with us? What if he's not with us? What if he's not our shepherd? Trouble's going to come. What if he's not our shepherd? What if he's not watching over us? What if he's not protecting us? What if he's not shielding us? When's the last time you thought about that and simply said, thank you, Lord, for your watch, care, and provision each day. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your long suffering. There's plenty of things we can thank him for. How many of them do you thank him for? I believe there's a terrible disease among God's people today of unthankfulness. Change it. You can do that. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. But you can do it. If he's your shepherd, you can do it. Be more thankful. Thankful that he's with us. You know, Romans 8 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, there's plenty that will howl and come against us and try to trick us and trip us up and whatever. They won't prevail. They can't prevail against the blood of Jesus. They may cause us a lot of trouble in this life, but there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. We're eternally secure in Jesus. For thou art with me. And we find great comfort in that because of his faithfulness. Faithfulness. He goes on to say, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So, not hard to figure that out. There's comfort in his rod and staff. Sometimes the shepherd would have to give a gentle nudge to the sheep, get them in the right way. Sometimes he has to be more forceful. Sometimes he'd have to take that crook and reach down and lift a sheep out of the trouble. But when we understand that all that God does by a loving hand, whether it's correction or whether it's blessing, it should comfort us that he loves us. You know the worst thing that he could do? Is leave us alone and leave us to ourselves. That would be the worst thing God could do. Is he your shepherd? Do you feel that leading? Do you feel sometimes that conviction? Do you feel the love, the care, the provision, the forgiveness, the grace, the long suffering? All that he is, and I'm just scratching the surface this morning. Do you feel that he's with you? Have you felt that his rod and staff has been applied to you? Perhaps that rod was used on your behalf and protected you from some enemy. I mean, there's all kinds of ways God uses those things, showing how that he is our shepherd has many ways to protect and to instruct his sheep. Our shepherd. He's my shepherd. I believe he's yours, but I'm thankful he's mine. You know what I mean, don't you? So thankful. Verse 5, he says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I've already touched on the enemies that we have in this life, especially that adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. But David had enemies, didn't he? David had those that wanted to take his life. Even the king, King Saul at times, threw a javelin, stuck it in the wall. He missed David. But he intended for that javelin to go right through it. But David, through all those experiences, recognized God's hand of protection, God's hand of provision, God's hand of blessing. And he recognized that even though he had enemies, thou preparest a table before me in the presence. He didn't, I'm sure David would have preferred that the Lord just destroy his enemies. Wouldn't you rather have that? You know, why didn't he just destroy the devil? He's going to. He's already defeated. There's coming a time when he's going to be cast into the lake of fire, along with all the others who obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the glory of his presence. We think about, rather than just annihilating our enemies in this life, those enemies, in some way, provide a purpose for us to remember our need of the Lord. To remember the Lord is able to take care of us even in the midst of our enemies. He can and he does provide and protect and defend us. And so David came to that place where he understood that. He also would say in Psalm 46, the Lord is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Think about that for just a minute. He's our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I like to say about that, and you've probably heard me say it before, but I like to say about that, that God is more present with his help than our trouble is. Because he knows before we do what the trouble is. He's able to supply that. And there have been times in my life when I have felt like I've had deliverance from the Lord, and when I've been able to stop and think about it, I can look back and see how the hand of the Lord had been working on that for a long time, providing for us, and I didn't have sense enough to know it. And it may have been even before I realized there was a trouble. He's a very present help. I mean, he's there. He can be there in an instant because he's already there. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so he's our hope. He's our hope. Whatever we face, he'll be there for us. Whatever we need, he's able to supply. So what's the opposite of that? Hopelessness? Do you know there's a lot of hopelessness in this world today? There's a lot of people that are searching and searching and searching. But what we need is the Lord. What we need is his mercy. What we need is his help. And he's so willing when we come to him. Now, we need to come on his terms. If we've been out of the way, we need to confess our sins. But John tells us, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when we come in that way, recognizing that we're not worthy, oh, fetch your hearts. He receives us. He hears us. He helps us. He provides. He's there to bless us. He goes on to say, thou anointest my head with oil. You know, on special occasions, people were anointed. Kings were anointed to serve as kings. Priests were anointed. So we see how that the Lord has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And in a sense, we've been anointed as kings and priests in this world to represent the Lord and to honor him and serve him by serving others. You understand that? But I mentioned that book about the shepherd's view of the 23rd Psalm, and that oil had medicinal benefits to those sheep. There were times when insects would be a bother to them, and they would anoint that oil, and it would be comforting and soothing and healing for them. Have you ever experienced that in life? Something was troubling you. Something was a real bother. But when the Lord provides his solution, there's a great easing, a healing, a comfort to when we receive from the Lord, blesses with answers to our life's problems. My cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. Abundance. You know, I mentioned that verse where it says the Lord daily loadeth us with benefits. Is that true? Do you believe it? Do you thank him for it? Yes, it's a true statement. It's a faithful saying. It's worthy of all acceptation. He does provide wonderfully for it in abundance. In abundance. And when you stop and count your blessings, when you stop and consider what you have in the Lord, when you realize that not only do we have blessings in this life, but we have the hope of eternal life with him forever in joy and peace without any of the heartaches or trials or struggles or any of the things that defile in this life, what we have to wait, awaiting us in heaven. Oh, when we think about all the blessings, surely our cup should run over. We should be recognizing how that God has blessed us and blessed us and blessed us. I'm not saying we don't have trouble. You know that. But in the midst of all of that, he's still blessing. He's still providing. He's still protecting. He's still guiding. He's still doing all of those things because he is the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. He's my shepherd. With all of those things, he's my shepherd. Then he says, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me. I love to think about looking back over what's happened in the past and how the Lord has blessed and provided and shielded. Even times of struggle that turned out that the Lord blessed. And what a blessing. What a blessing. Surely, because he's faithful, because he watches over us at all times, because he's never going to leave us, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. He's the same God now as he's always been. He'll always be the same God that he is now. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And he ends up with security. And I will dwell. I will. Not a hope. I will dwell. You know, if that's our hope of being with him in glory, that's just part of it. Now, that's the biggest part of it, because it'll never end. But we can do that right now. We can do it right now. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. If he's our shepherd, if he's shown us how great he is, if he's shown us his great mercy, if he's shown us his great grace, bless your hearts, we can dwell in his house, rejoicing in his goodness, his mercy, his provisions. We can dwell and rejoice in these things, not feeding on the things of the world, but feeding on the word of God, feeding on his provisions, feeding on what God in his mercy is providing to us each day. He said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Eternity. Forever. God doesn't start loving and quit. He chose us before the foundation of the world. He sent his Son to save us. We're eternally secure in him. Oh, may God help us to rejoice each day in knowing our shepherd, in following our shepherd, and rejoicing in all that he is and all that we have to look forward to. You know, it's one thing to thank him for the blessings, but it's another thing and a better thing to thank him for being the giver of all those good things, of being who he is. Aren't you thankful for the shepherd that we have? Aren't you thankful for the shepherd that he is? We couldn't have a better one. I don't want another one. I just want more of the one we have. Don't you? May God bless us. It's your prayer. And our prayer.